You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is ad hoc episode 119.
Ad hoc 119, John.
Yeah.
Ad hoc. Because we're going to do a short show tonight. It is Sunday evening. I am at home.
Yeah, we couldn't get it together last weekend.
On a Sunday evening?
Who?
We couldn't get it together last weekend. Why was that again?
Well, I was sick, but it was Super Bowl night, but that didn't matter. I still...
Oh, right. It was Super Bowl night.
But I was sick.
And you were sick. You didn't sound very good.
No. No.
But you stayed up to watch the greatest game ever, right?
Yeah. And I hightailed my ass out of there, man. I was trying to find an excuse to get out of there. And a podcast would have been great.
How are you feeling right now?
I feel okay.
You sound a little bit under the weather.
No, it's just in my chest, you know. It was like I had pneumonia or something, man. I could feel fluid filling up in my lungs.
That would be pneumonia.
It was similar to what Rick had, but I shook it. I still hack up a lung every once in a while.
So tonight we're going to try to put together like maybe an hour show, you know.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, John,
Tuesday.
We're going to give you the full-blown, what do we do, 3 hours now?
Tuesday.
When we sit down?
Yeah. Well, we don't need to do 3 hours. I don't know why we do 3 hours.
No, of course not.
It's because of you.
We haven't hit three hours yet, have we?
Yeah, we pretty close.
No.
No.
250. That's not close.
No, it's not. Not close at all.
All right, John, let's talk a little bit about website updates. What a pain in my ass this was, but we finally got the forum migrated from PHP 2.0 to 3.0. And so the forum is now available. If you have made a post to the forum in the last 6 months, your account should still be active.
Nice.
Nah, just go ahead and create a new one.
Yeah.
And we got all that cool shit up there that makes you verify that you're really creating an account. And then I have to view the new requests and then select which ones will be accepted. The only thing I don't have working is email. So you will not get email notification if you create an account. So I'm still looking into that. But we do have the forum converted. We have some sound clips out there. We have some classic threads. And check it out. And the other thing is I spent like 8 hours converting this fucking thing.
Yeah.
So I will be participating more.
Yeah.
From an administrative perspective and as a user. That's right. As the co-host.
Because you felt like you've invested your soul into the forum, right?
No. No, not my soul, but I have invested a lot of my time, yes.
Your Jesus soul, your spirituality?
Yes.
Yes.
My spiritual essence, if you will.
Anus.
Also, we just found out, I just found out tonight, we can put this cool Skype icon on our website. And when John is online, representing TTN, the icon will show the user that, yes, we are online. So if you have any questions about when we record the show and you want to call in, you just hit our website and you'll see if we're online or not.
Right.
That's going to be kick-ass, man. Totally kick-ass.
Yeah, totally.
Of course, you don't like people to know when we're online.
No, that's not true.
Well, on Tuesday, when I come into the studio, into the home studio.
Yeah.
Are we still going to be set up to accept Skype calls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I only keep it cloaked when it's private.
I see. And the other question I have is...
Because it's not, the only line. I can't pay for two of them.
Right on. Not this evening, right? Not this evening, but the last time we were working on Skype, it took us an hour and a half to get this shit together.
Yeah.
Is it possible that we'd have a caller that calls in that we can't handle?
No.
Because of... He doesn't have his sound settings
well,
right or something
only,
like
only
that?
If they're a fucking idiot.
So what do you say in the hour and a half was because of my
immense
stupidity?
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you know what I found out tonight just messing around with Skype? There's a setting in options that if you have this checkbox set clicked, it says, let Skype handle
your audio.
The audio. The VA.
Yeah.
And I had that checked. So what I was doing is I was dialing for a test call. And right when I would dial, it would switch from line in to microphone. And then all the levels would start moving up and down. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But I got that straightened out. So that's important to keep that unchecked.
Yeah.
Do not let Skype
Skype. They don't know what they're doing.
They don't know what they're doing. Don't let them do that.
No.
I don't even know why they invested time into developing that
to,
component,
you know,
of the
make
software.
It stupidity proof.
But that's not what happens. It only exacerbates the stupidity of the user.
Exmasturbates, yeah. You're right. Exmasturbates it.
What other webs? Oh, Kangaroo Court has a new look.
Yeah.
As well, and I'm still waiting for verbiage from you.
But a bunch of people called me. They wanted to know why we didn't play on Tuesday.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Did I put the...
Yeah, they were wondering what's with the fifth. The fifth. Yeah.
Well, good thing that's in the past.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made an error. I think you mentioned that to me earlier, too.
4 weeks
right?
ago, yeah.
Yeah, 4 weeks ago.
When you first did it.
And I still haven't. I've been so busy, John. So busy.
So busy with your fucking class.
No, with this website, this forum. How dare you? And my class as well. It's midterms coming up, baby. Midterms.
Midterms.
I have to write 6 papers overall. So I have an option. Do I want to write 2 now and 4 later? Or do I want to write 4 now and 2 later? And I'm going for 4 now and 2 later.
Right. Because, you know, it'll get warmer. And you don't want to be outside doing stuff.
Oh, you know where I was today?
Jogging.
I was at the Field Museum this morning.
Oh, man. Yeah, you just cut out. I don't know what happened. I heard, so I missed whatever you said.
Am I back? While I was at the Field Museum, I came up with another idea for
a contest
to get a PhD in biology based on DNA and based on convergent evolution. I have a concept that would explain convergent evolution. And it's revolutionary, John.
Yeah, yeah.
Really is.
I can't wait till you actually publish a paper so we can hear a podcast rip your ass apart. Like you do to so many guys that are throw their shit out there for quantum physics.
Well, here's the idea. I'm just going to present the idea. I'm not even going to tell the idea. But I'm going to present this idea, and then other people can do the work. Other people can do the scientific work. I presented the idea first, you see?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So I would get the credit.
Right.
Not only that, so I'll most likely get the Nobel Prize in biology if they have one. And later, when I present my PhD for physics, a double Nobel laureate, John.
Double whammy.
What do you think would be more important? Podcast with John and Scott... who won the Podcast Peer Awards, or Podcast with John and Scott, the double Nobel laureate? Which would be a better marketing angle?
Aren't you being a little pretentious?
No. The important thing about goals is you have to say them out loud, and you have to write them down. Didn't you learn that in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People?
No. What the hell is that?
I don't know. It's some book somebody told me about. But the important thing about goals is to write them down and to say them out loud.
Right.
It's something about positive mental attitude. If you tell yourself you're going to fail, you're going to fail.
Well, that's different. Positive mental attitude is not positive yap about yourself making excessive claims.
Oh, these totally aren't excessive, different. John. I will expect an apology from you at the first ceremony.
Oh, my God. You sound like Volpe now.
Oh, I do not. Come on.
My attack first, or whatever he said. Shoot first criticism.
Shoot first. All right. Well, hold on. We'll get to that.
You talk too much.
You talk too much. Now, one of the things that we did before the Super Bowl on a Friday, John and I had another date night.
Oh, right. Yeah.
EP Tony Paul with.
Yeah.
And we went to Movie Co. This is the premier theater with the big love seats. And we can bring alcohol in.
Well, first we went to the Beacon.
Did we go to the Beacon first?
We went to the Beacon first.
Oh, that's right. We did.
Aide had a couple of beers.
Couple of beers.
Got the TP all riled up about the W because he was going for Fred Thompson.
Yeah. And wasn't this after Fred Thompson had dropped out? He was still going for Fred Thompson? Yeah. We got to get TP back on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was saying some things about other races that were just unbelievable.
Unbelievable, I know.
What we did find out is that I used to have a relationship with a woman of color. Yeah, is that a politically correct thing to say?
What?
I don't know. I don't know in the current climate.
African-American?
Appropriate. Anyway. We had a relationship, and the whole time that we were in this relationship, and this is years, John. This is not like a couple of weeks. Years. TP never told his dad that I was dating a black woman.
Wow.
Because
I was afraid of the fallout.
The fallout, yeah. I would have been never allowed in the house again, and who knows, Tony may have been kicked out for associating with someone who... was in this relationship.
Right.
Shocking, John. Shocking.
Shocking. Yeah, but, it was pretty funny.
So then we went from there and we went to Movie
Co. Yeah, man. The Shine asked me to buy him a beer.
Oh, that was at the Beacon,
right?
Yeah. Tony, we don't refer to him like that, okay? We'd appreciate it if
you... we call them you people. No. Kidding.
Of course not.
Don't say that shit.
So then we head over, we see Rambo.
Rambo. Quality Rambo. Movie. What a great, great classic.
Well, hold on. Before we get to our reviews, here's just some of the people, some of the reviewers, professional reviewers. They get paid for this. Here's what they had to say about Rambo. This is Mike Thomas. How violent is Sylvester Stallone's new Rambo film? Put it this way. If you were to make a drinking game and then take a slug of booze each time someone buys the farm, you'd either become monstrously drunk or possibly dead yourself from alcohol poisoning.
I know.
Claudia Pugh says, it's hard to imagine who the target audience is for Rambo. Young audiences can't possibly be interested in the violent exploits of someone old enough to be collecting Social Security. Hipped he is, or how much plastic surgery has molded his face into a permanent scowl. The audience who saw the three previous Rambo movies in the 80s have no doubt moved on to better and smarter action fare. So who is this movie for? Besides Stallone himself.
So did he have like four lines in the whole movie?
Sly?
Yeah.
Maybe six.
Yeah.
This guy, Benji, his name is Benji, spells it with an I. B-E-N-J-I.
Like the dog?
What? Yeah. He says, What I experienced instead with Rambo was a sad attempt by a rapid aging action has-been to drive an adrenaline shot into the heart of his dying career in one last desperate attempt to remain relevant with today's youth. I'm sure Benji Tunnel is relevant with today's youth. The guy just points out how the story demonizes the bad guys. They throw children into fires, have giant rape parties, feed people to pigs while they're still alive.
Yeah.
And if you're okay with that, they have gay pedophilia sex.
That's right, it stinks!
Just to make sure you hate them. There are no characters, per se, on the bad guy side, just a bunch of demonized monsters for Rambo to kill. It didn't really work for me, and I would have much rather had some badass guys for Rambo to fight rather than a bunch of faceless evildoers, John.
Absolutely.
Evildoers.
Hey.
Yeah.
Spider Rico.
All right, so there's some of the professional reviewers. Now we're going to give you our opinion of Rambo.
You know, you've got a big mouth, you know?
I know. Some people say I talk too much.
You got a big mouth. You know, you just talk too much.
So what did you think of this movie, John?
It was entertaining. It was just fucking re-goddamn ridiculous, though. I don't know how, like, five guys took on, like, 10,000 soldiers at Rambo. He's up there with his machine gun just sawing people in half. I mean, the kills were quality.
Oh, no, definitely quality kills. Quality kills. So many of them, in fact, that you stop saying quality kill out loud. Yeah. Because you would have just been chiming that over and over again. But a film has maybe three or four max quality kills. At a certain point, there was 10, 15 in a row.
Right. Just constant.
You saying I got no brains?
But I do have to agree with a couple of these reviewers. The whole setup they had for the Burmese or whoever these people are. I have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
Don't care about their politics. These Christian missionaries that are going over there to spread the gospel.
Yeah, like
I would have fucking left them there.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he told them. What did he tell them, John? He told them, they said, take us upriver.
Yeah.
And he said,
no, fuck you.
Pretty much. He said, what did he say? He said, did you bring any guns?
Did you bring any weapons?
And they said, well, no, of course not. We just brought the holy book.
Then you ain't going to change anything.
You ain't changing nothing.
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 You ain't
anything.
Changing nothing.
You saying I got no brains?
And I would have just left him up there, but he had some connection with the woman of the group, right?
Yeah.
And because she talked about his dad and stuff like that.
Right.
But other than that, you know, the thing about that I really enjoy about movies is when movies make me think about whatever. Me think at all.
Yeah.
Except about Friday nights in Burma.
Yeah.
Where they take four women, throw them on stage, play some music, and have them strip, like dance like a stripper.
Yeah.
Unwillingly until it gets them in a frenzy.
Frenzy, yeah.
And there's like, what, 200 guys?
Yeah.
And then they storm the stage and have gang rapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be one party night in Burma. How do you find out about those, you know? Are there VIPs?
Like, are there what?
VIPs. Or is it just a free-for-all?
You know? Oh, you think there's a lounge?
Yeah, like a special lounge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then right after that scene, you find out the general's got a thing for little boys.
Yeah, that was a little interesting.
That wasn't interesting.
Yeah.
I know you ain't too happy at this moment, you know?
Yeah. I ain't too happy.
You ain't so, too happy at this moment,
kills,
you know? Yeah.
But just a waste of goddamn time.
No,
one
I
of the
thought
worst
it,
movies
what
ever?
Are you talking
no,
about?
Not at all.
No,
not at all.
I don't think it was a waste of time.
Waste of time. We didn't
say
need
that,
to see the movie.
I say that anybody that goes to see that movie, they need to bring TP with them.
Oh, you definitely need to bring TP with you.
With this fucking talking like he's outside through the whole movie. Holy shit!
Oh, and at the very end, Ramble's walking home down a street to his dad's farm. And Tony says out loud, very loudly, "Where's Brian Dennehy?" Hey, man, Tony, chill out, okay? Yeah. We can't bring you out anymore.
People are looking at us, you know.
I know you ain't too happy at this moment, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, but one of the things, we did get this DVD called, I can't even remember what it's called, but it's based on a Sir Arthur Conan Doyle novel, The Land of the Lost or some shit like that, where these people go back and they find this prehistoric era here on Earth right now. And I'm thinking, you take Rambo and you combine that with Land of the Lost, you got a fucking Rambo 5 right there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they drag Rambo back to this prehistoric location, and he just takes out Neanderthal man and dinosaurs at the same time.
Right. Just saws them down.
That would be like Jurassic Park meets the Terminator.
Right.
It would be box office gold.
I'd like to explain something. You know, I ain't punchy. I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain, but I ain't punchy, you know. It's just the way I talk.
Relaxed brain.
Relaxed brain.
Watch your mouth.
Right on.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So, out of four Spiny Normans, I give Rambo two.
Yeah, I could have went without paying $15 for a fucking movie. You said I'd have to pay $15 for a drink, or $12 or whatever the fuck it was.
Well, that's because we got the 24-ounce brewskis.
Right.
Instead of the Knob Creek on the Rocks.
Right. I wonder how old Rambo is.
I'm 30
in real
myself.
Life?
I'm 30 myself.
Oh.
No, he's older than
that.
Oh,
is he? Oh.
Yeah. He's got to be. If he was in NAMM, come on.
Can I ask you something?
Let's say he was 20 in NAMM.
In NAMM, yeah.
In NAMM. Let's say he only went for 1 year in 1969. That puts him at 59, 49. We'll round it up to 50.
Yeah.
58.
Yeah, he's probably up in the
60s. And that's at a generous young estimate.
What?
What?
What? What?
But what he needs to do is wear that Rambo wig. Rig?
Rig. The Rambo,
that Wambo rig all the time.
Yeah.
Because have you seen him in interviews and stuff? Yeah, obviously, he's losing his hair, and he's got the hair plugs. And it just exasperates the plastic surgery he's done to his face.
Exasperates it, yeah.
Yeah.
You mean exacerbates?
Yeah, whatever. Just put a wig on. Just put the wig on and put the little headband on, and you look okay, all right? Just go with that.
That's
a good look.
It stinks!
No doubt, man. I couldn't get into the movie. I'm like, what? Why the fuck would this old man stay in this fucked up? Because in the very opening of the movie, he's catching these really poisonous cobras, and he brings them back in this Burmese guy. Reads him the riot act because he needs pythons and not cobras. And then as Rambo's walking away, he tells him to fuck off. And I'm thinking, why did he move there? You know, unless he was running from the law. Because the last time we saw him, he was in Afghanistan throwing a sheep head around or something.
Right. And then you don't know what happened to him. What happened to him after that?
I don't know.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
Well, you know what it did for me is it just, it really depressed me in the fact that currently I'm cut to shreds, like a Rambo 3. You
sure
know what I'm saying?
Are. Yeah.
And
like
I'm going to end up looking
stool.
Like, I'm going to end up looking like Rambo 4, you know, except without the plastic surgery. Yeah. So it's really a kind of a rude awakening, and it's all about old age and
Yeah.
And so Rambo's still trying to be relevant.
Right.
in the current climate. You just can't do it. You really can't do it.
Yeah.
I think if you went back to the land of dinosaurs, though, that would be kick-ass. Because the kids like dinosaurs.
Well, I'm officially retired now.
Yeah. It was a treat. Very nice treat.
Well, the other movie, I did see one other movie on DVD. And it was called The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. That's the name of the movie.
Ah.
Have you heard about this movie,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, it's Casey Affleck's up for an award.
Casey Affleck is up for an award. And, yeah, I'll give him that. I'll give him the nod for the nomination.
Well, what
because
about...
Because that motherfucker creeped me out, all
yeah.
right? Yeah. And I'm not homophobic or anything, but...
You cut out there. What'd
for
you
Brad
say?
Pitt, is it Jesse James?
Yeah.
I don't know. Where did I cut out? I'm not homophobic, John, but his love for Jesse James was a little too homoerotic
little,
for me.
Little over the top.
Little over the top
for
me.
Not like snapping towels on your ass in the
and
shower.
And talk about slow.
So,
this movie is
so
slow. Is ass.
Talk about slow.
Slow. Yeah, it's a two-syllable word. Slow.
Slow.
It's nominated for 2 Oscars. I can't believe that. What are the nominations
dude,
for?
Dude, all the slow ones are nominated.
160 minutes of slowness.
Of slowness.
Again, I'll tip my hat to Casey Affleck because the guy goddamn creeped me out. And he's not known for that. Like, you put a Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's a creepy guy to begin
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
But a Casey Affleck is a nice, clean-cut guy, brother of Ben Affleck. He's never creeped me out before. But he gave me the willies in this movie. So, yeah, go ahead, give him the nomination.
Yeah.
And the cinematography, I don't know if they're nominated for that or not, but there were some really nice shots.
Yeah.
But other than that, this was the slowest fucking movie on the planet.
Yeah.
And you had to watch it. The assumption is you know the profound effect of a Jesse James.
Yeah.
Not only on history, but on literature and everything else that came afterwards. And if you don't know that, you're completely lost to
yeah.
begin with. Fortunately, I'm an educated man. I know those things. But they're giving this thing 7.9 out of 10. On IMDb, and I can't believe that.
I can't believe it. Believe it.
Now, Brad Pitt, the other thing that pissed me off is Brad Pitt looks like shit in this movie.
Yeah.
Shit.
Shit.
And he still looks better than I do. Yeah, that pissed me off.
It pissed you off.
He pissed me off. He's still better looking than I am, and he looks like crap.
Well, that's what's that saying, man?
I don't know what that is saying.
You look like shit.
Now, I would recommend people don't watch this movie, but I really want people to watch this movie. Maybe I missed something. Tell me what I missed.
I missed something. Did your wife watch it?
She fell asleep.
Because I'm finding out that your wife has to explain movies to you.
Yeah, she does. Well, you can hear that in one of our podcasts. Is she takes me step by step through 310 to Yuma.
Right.
And I had an epiphany, a revelation about that movie, John. But this one, she fell asleep. And I kept trying to wake her up, and she'd fall right back to sleep. And I talked to her about it the next day. I said, was that movie as goddamn boring as I...
Yeah.
And she said, oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Boring.
Boring.
Yeah,
but
I can't watch that shit.
When we talk about Rambo, it doesn't make me think at all. It's just like a complete waste of time. It makes me think about all the other things I could have been doing instead of watching Rambo, is what it does. This one did make me think, from a historical perspective, how accurate it is.
Yeah.
So I am interested in this Coward Robert Ford. And the movie really is about him. It's
right.
not about Jesse James. Jesse James is almost a... of course, it couldn't happen without
yeah.
Jesse James.
Right.
But it's about this character, Robert Ford.
Yeah.
That is portrayed very well and very creepily by a Casey Affleck.
Nice.
So I give this I can't. Well, you know what? It makes me want to change my Rambo. I want to change Rambo to 1.5, and I'll give
so you can lower
Jesse
this
James
one.
A 2.0.
That puts it in perspective. I'll have to check it out.
That puts it in perspective.
You know what I watched?
I'd like you to see it so I can understand. You know, maybe I did miss something. And let me know what the fuck is going on, how you interpreted it.
I watched one of the greatest movies of all time.
What is that?
Yeah.
I want Which one? To get online. I need a computer.
Let me guess the movie. Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah, the greatest role that Keanu Reeves ever had in his life.
Play that line again, because we talk about audio performance.
Yeah.
And I think this sums up Keanu's entire performance career.
There's another one, but I couldn't get it.
In this one line.
Yeah.
I want to get online. I need a computer.
And he does this thing with his hands that is hilarious. And you know what I found, though? I did a little research about the movie, because I just couldn't... You know what bugged me about it, and it bugged you about it, I'm sure, was the pacing and the continuity was all fucked up. I mean, okay, yeah, his acting sucked, but the storytelling was all goofy. So I did some research, and I found out that there was a Japanese version. It's English, but it's a Japanese cut. And there's like 10 more minutes that develops other characters, and some of the lines in the movie make way more sense in the Japanese version than they do in the U.S. version, because Sony decided to cut it up and cut it shorter and take out some of the violence, because it was much more violent. And it was supposedly had a lot more humor in it. Gibson.
Humor.
Humor. So I'm trying to get my hands on the Japanese version of it. I don't want to give up hope.
Well, you know, you spoke about the continuity. I didn't even notice that, because I was so overwhelmed
distracted
by the performance by Keanu Reeves.
What do you mean, man? That's the best line ever.
I know it's the best line ever, but it just epitomizes his entire career in that line.
A computer.
His greatest work, and I think you'll agree with me, John, was in Bill and Ted's Big Adventure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was, wasn't acting at all.
No.
I need a computer.
Well, I heard a story just last week that this guy was at a restaurant, like a very upscale restaurant, and he took his goddamn shoes off. Which is bad enough. But then he put him up on the table.
Oh, no.
And another
there?
Customer.
Oh.
Asshole. You're ruining my fucking dining experience.
No, so,
put
so,
your
wait a minute.
Fucking
Say,
shoes back on.
Somebody said that? Or you did?
Yeah. No, I didn't say that. Oh. Somebody said that. I wasn't there.
Oh.
But somebody went over and said, hey, man, you're fucking ruining my evening. Get your goddamn shoes back on.
Hey, it's a free country. I can do what the fuck I want. Go to some other restaurant if you don't like it.
Fuck that. Then you take it to the manager. You let the manager decide if he wants to have Keanu Reeves with his stinky fucking toe jam feet on the table. Then you hit. That's when you
idea.
Escalate it.
Have a point.
That's right. Escalate.
Right on. Escalate.
Escalate it.
All right, so moving on from movies, let's turn to... now, last show, we talked a lot about Chicago Rock Circus.
Yeah.
Because you went and saw...
Yeah, paid my $7 and saw...
$7.
$7 and saw the new...
Now, the backstory is you used to play with these guys. Well, one of them, right? You played with Dan.
Yeah.
In the original Exide.
Yeah.
Were you the original drummer?
No. There was a guy that played one show with them before me.
Before you, but
yeah.
So you play, how long did you play with them, Exide?
Couple years.
84,
85.
Then Exide went on kind of like A Kangaroo Court, they've been around for a long time.
Exide went on hiatus for like years, and then they came out right at the same time. You, me, we all started playing at the Beacon at the same time back in like 90.
Oh, that's when I was in the other band.
Yeah.
Right on.
So like 89 or 90, and then I played with him again for a while with a different bass player named Terry. So we played a couple of gigs at the Beacon with a band called Front Page. Or I don't know if they're Front Page or Hit and Run. That's what they were called. And we played a couple of gigs together because I had seen him play at the Beacon and then at a bar called Nick's. And he was playing with Ripper at the time and Jeff on drums. And then I don't know what happened. They were renting this place, and I got involved in renting it with them because I needed a place to jam. And I played a couple gigs with him and this guy Terry. This guy Terry, I met when I was working out in Buffalo Grove, and I used to shop at this music store. And he and I started talking, and we got him hooked up with Volpe. And then next thing I know, we're playing. Doing Exide stuff. So then that all fell apart again. And then Jeff came back on playing drums. And then when he'd go on vacation, Dan would call me up and say, hey, I need you to sit in for a gig here, a gig there. Or he'd even call Phil to play drums with Exide. So Exide has had like lots of different musicians.
Lots of different musicians, but Dan has always been... one of the, I guess he's, you can consider him the, one of the founding members.
Well, he is. It was his name, his idea. And
I guess from my perspective, they've been around for as long as Kangaroo Court. Yeah. I've known that they've gone on hiatus on a couple of occasions.
No, Kangaroo Court's only been around since like, I'd say 88.
88?
Yeah.
But Exide since what, 82?
84.
84.
Yeah.
So Dan starts this new project. It's called Chicago Rock Circus.
Yeah.
I think you talked about the email that he sent out about the show. It's new. It's an all new experience.
Yeah.
So you went to the show. I wasn't able to go to the show. And you, last podcast, you talked in pretty much detail, quite a lot of detail about your experience at that show. Now, if you're listening to the show, you would think that you gave a thumbs down. Would that be a correct assessment?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No, because I went back and listened to it, and it's the same, in my opinion, as Exide has been all these different musicians. And now I don't know what he's claiming that.
Okay, so when you say it's the same, it's a cover band.
It's similar, yeah, it's similar, except it's got a little more variety. They got a ringmaster that announces between the sets, and they got a juggler and a guy who swallows one of those long balloons. He's kind of a...
Who does the ringmaster stuff? Is it somebody in the
Roy,
band?
Roy, a guy who used to be the bass player in Exile.
Oh, right.
And he's got this magician. He's got a couple of magicians. I didn't stay for the whole night. But no. I don't give it a thumbs down at all. I just said... I guess my thing was I was disappointed because when we had him here a year ago, that would be podcast 81, part 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
He had said that he was embarking on this new mission, and he had called me a couple of times after that to invite me to check it out and jam with the guys and, just hang out. And I couldn't get over there.
So by new mission, we're not going to do the cover thing. That's the interpretation he said he didn't play covers anymore.
I figured he would do
them to
some.
Jam on the show other than to shred.
Yeah. I figured he would do some, but not all, you know, just do kind of like the same thing. But, you know, it was great. I mean, there were 700 people. What the hell? Who am I
and
to
like
say?
You said.
But I mean, paid seven fucking dollars. I could say what I want.
Like you said, the rhythm section was great.
Stellar.
And so your expectations were at one point, and what you observed didn't meet your expectations.
No.
Would that be an assumption or a correct thing to say?
Yeah. So, and plus, I probably was in a surly mood because I had to go back to my fucking car to get my goddamn driver's license. You know, I'm 43, and this guy is looking at me, and I know he knows I'm old enough to be in there, but I still got to get the driver's license so he could fucking scan me like I'm carrying an IED or something. I'm going to blow the place up, or what the hell is that now? Surveillance society, Scott. I was already crabby, you know. I get, fuck, here's my $7. Walk in, and the place is really crowded. And so part of it was pissing me off because I was on the outskirts of it and trying to get closer to the stage, and people are talking so loud. At one point, I couldn't even hear them playing. Because people were just yapping so much. Hey, motherfucker, man, so long since I've seen you. You know, they're having a great time. But I couldn't even hear some of the tunes because it was so muffled by all the people. And even the guy we ran into at the Beacon that one night, he was the big guy, the bouncer dude,
mm-hmm.
John. He was like, fuck, it was hot and it was crowded and... But that's not their fault. I mean, that's just the way it was. I mean, everybody came
to
see
the experience.
To see the band. And realistically, if they just would have said, hey, it's Exide coming out again, they said still would have had 700 people. They still would have had them. Still would have had the same amount. So, you know, whatever. It's not what I said was nothing. I mean.
So you're. Your expectations weren't met, and the bouncer asked you to go back to your car to get your goddamn ID.
Yeah.
So you were surly.
Yeah.
So all you did was talk about your experience. Now, they're playing again on March 1st in Schaumburg.
Yeah.
I can't remember. City Limits, is that correct?
Chicago City Limits, yeah.
So is that a Saturday?
I don't know.
Let's set up a date night because I want to go. Do you want to go back and see him or no?
It is a Saturday.
I want to see him just so to comment on the experience. And the other thing is, now you... was it directed
just
to you?
You just got cut out again. You just cut
out. You got an email from Dan. Was it directed at you or... Who was it directed at?
No, I was CC'd on it.
You were CC'd. So
I was
who
CC'd,
was the emailing?
But it was all about me.
who was the primary recipient of this email?
It looked like it was Marty and Phil.
Marty and Phil. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Marty and Phil, were they there?
No.
No.
They were not there.
Well, maybe we can get Marty and Phil.
Well, no. See, if you go see it, you're going to have the same response.
Oh, no. You can't say that.
I can because... You in podcast
81. Is the bouncer going to ask me to go get my ID?
I don't know. In podcast 81, you were talking about how great of a band they are and the following and all this stuff, and you were gushing all about it. And you'll have the same experience when you see them. It's the same. It's quality musicianship, you know, and all that stuff. But for me. For me personally, in my $7, I was kind of hoping, because I know these other guys that play in the band, and to hear them play a Doors tune, and yeah, they played Iron Maiden. I was really expecting something, you know, really kick ass, some really syncopated shit, and knowing the caliber of musician they are, and I was just, you know, I was a little bit disappointed. You don't know these guys. You don't know what kind of music they play and how well they articulate their craft. So to you, it might just be like, oh, yeah, this is fucking great. It's another, you know, it's another Exide show, basically, but with juggling. And you'll be giddy and happy, and you're running into somebody that you ran into, you know, from back in the day, from high school, and it'll be a pleasant experience, and it definitely would be. I'm sure if I had some people there that would have come with me, like a Scott who said he was going to. No doubt, man. Of course, no doubt means, yeah, I ain't going to make it.
Well, didn't we go out the Friday before? Yeah, I can't do two nights in a row.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, why not? I'll see if I can change that in the future. But that's just my perception, too.
Yeah.
It's just my expectation is I can't do two nights in a row. But let me see if I can change that. But I think one of the things that you talk about in expectations and things like that, one of the components about seeing us, our band, or seeing Exide, or seeing this new band, is the social component, is seeing people that you may not see for a long time, but you know that they're going to gather for this event. So it becomes like, so to speak.
It's what? Becomes like what?
Like a reunion.
Yeah.
So to speak. Where you mentioned that, you may see somebody from...
I did. I ran into a bunch of people that I haven't seen for a while.
So I think a part of a successful band is nurturing that culture. Nurturing the aspect of the social aspect.
I have no argument with that whatsoever. That is not even my point.
What is your point then?
My point is that...
Now, the reason we're talking about all of this is because you got this email, and we haven't even talked about this email.
No.
But you got this email that you were CC'd on that was originally sent to Marty and Phil.
Right.
Not to you. And Marty and Phil didn't even show up to the gig.
Right.
And the reason we're talking about this is because of that email, but what is this email?
What?
What is it about this email that gets your panties in a bunch, so to speak?
Nothing. None of it gets my panties in a bunch.
All right.
I find it comical.
You find
it's
it
funny.
Comical?
Yeah.
Comical. And why do you find it comical? What does Dan say? Now, Dan sent this email to Marty
Dan
and
said,
Phil.
Yeah, and
CC'd you, and what does he say?
It was
is after he listened to our last show. Okay.
He basically was telling Phil and Marty it was a blast. They didn't play Jesse's Girl finally, and they even played some Maiden. However, John from TTN expected to see Bubbles the Clown on a unicycle and wanted some peanuts and a petting zoo, so he didn't like it. I never said that. I said basically it's Exide with juggling. You know, I didn't say I didn't like it. I've been there.
Yeah, you know, I would have to.
Cut out again. What did you say?
Now, it didn't meet your expectations.
Right.
Now, whether you liked it or you didn't, I don't know if I ever got that, but I did get that it didn't meet your expectations.
So he writes, listen to his podcast on us. It was comical in its limited musical viewpoint and typical of his shoot first criticism of me. Scott was nice, though.
Of course, I'm always nice.
Yeah.
I'm the epitome of nice,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, right. You sure are. Good thing he's not writing a paper on string theory.
Who's that?
Dan.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, we do have a new forum
member.
You'd
be all over
his
ass.
We have a new forum member, Andrew, and his signature is "What's the matter with string theory?" or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'll educate him at a later point when I write my thesis for my PhD. But go on, John. I'm sorry to you.
Yeah. Anyway, so where was I? Hello? Are you still there?
Yes, we were talking about how nice I was. I'm the epitome of a
nice
guy.
So anyway, you kind of jumped all over the whole he wasn't going to play any covers and now he's doing originals. I didn't really say any of that. You brought it up first.
When he said that, I knew it was a bunch of shit on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I think I even challenged him then, but he said, no, I don't do that anymore.
And just to be fair, this is what I had to say about Dan on 81 Part 2. Here, take a listen.
All right. Dan is here. The Dan we have in the studio.
Yeah. The Dan.
The Shredder Dan. The
Shredder
is here
Dan.
To announce his new band.
The greatest guitar player ever.
Exide. For how many years were you in Exide?
He founded it.
He founded Exide.
Before the battery
84.
Company.
84.
So, yeah. Greatest guitar player ever. Like, I don't fucking compliment the guy. His beef is that I call him a swindler all the time, which I think I made it clear in 82, 81 part two, that it's just a joke. I kid him about his, he has this goofy way of justifying some of the crap that he pulls off, which, you know, I don't think he's like intentionally trying to swindle people out of his money. I don't mean that at all. But it is pretty funny how he does stuff. And he even talks about in that show how he divorced himself from the band Exide. Instead of saying, hey, look, I'm tired of doing this shit. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to venture onto something else. He quit. He pulled himself out of the band because of the politics and all the equipment that was involved and all this stuff, which I totally understand that. That is like... It's a tough thing to do. You have to confront a situation with people that that are your friends at the same time, and you have invested time and equipment and resources and fans and all this, have expectations of seeing the same guys every time they go see a gig or whatever, and it is tough. You know, it's a tough way to do it. I totally agree with all that shit. My only contention was that I was not content with the fact that it was all covers again. And I thought, you know, wow, he's got these great guys playing and he's going to whip something out. This is going to be kick ass. And it still was kick ass. But I just wasn't, you know, I was a little disappointed, I guess. So anyway, all right, well, he goes on to say that you can't launch an original band in this town without selling your soul for a cheap prize. And the wasteland of original dreams and players in this town are as huge and as old as the Sahara. I mean, right there. Those are lyrics.
I think that if that is, and if the vocal melody runs through the song, and you have something that people are going to listen to, you could be a goddamn bum on the street. They don't care. If the music is good, people are going to come.
Right.
So I necessarily don't agree with that. With that statement that you can't sell originality to people,
well,
you first have
he says for a cheap prize, which means that the way it is now with the music business, that there's just no way to break through unless by some pot, you know, whatever. Like look at these American Idol shows. Almost everybody, not everybody, but almost everybody that's charismatic enough has gone on to have million-dollar careers, selling $1 million and, you know, millions of albums, even second-place people. And without that kind of break and that exposure, anything they did, they'd just fucking, who knows, they'd probably die being in a cover band or playing weddings. Who knows what?
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I think that if you have to have more than one. I mean, there's one hit wonders. If you have a one hit, it may get some play on the internet. It may get some play on the radio, but you need more than one nowadays. Well, where in the old days, you could have a career on a one hit. Now you need more than one hit. But if the music is good enough, you can get discovered, and you can get make a career out of being a musician. That's my belief, John.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, he goes on to say, I don't know how to market a band, meaning me, John, or the strategy that they're taking, which is 700 people at your cover band show are 700 people that when you do have something original to sell, they are going to buy it. and not the other way around. So he disagrees with you.
Well, I disagree with that as well. They're only going to buy it if it's good. I mean, if they buy it and it's shit, they may buy it, but they're not going to buy the next time.
Well, I
so
think...
if you want to make money off of 700 people, yeah, but still, you have to have the product. You have to have the good songs, plural songs.
Yeah, I don't think there's a problem there. I think, you know, I don't know. It depends on if it's really like obscure out there. It's not, people can't touch it. It's not tangible. You know, I mean, you got, there's some shit like I send you an email or a link to something. Check out this bass line this guy's playing. And you're like, yeah, I don't, that's so fucking technical. It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't move me. Me, on the other hand, I'm like, oh, my God, what is he doing? Or a drummer that does the same thing. But it doesn't affect everybody the same way. You know what I'm saying? There's some things that are just they're too technical to the point where people can't get into it. They can't touch it. You know,
right.
It doesn't move them.
Like me.
What's that?
Like me. Like you send me the stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I just can't.
Yeah, this is, what the fuck's this shit?
I don't get into that.
Like, I said some Michael Badio shit on the forum, and you're like, okay, knock it off. Are you serious? This is your favorite guitar player ever? No, but he is one of the greats. He's phenomenal and not well known, and he came from Chicago.
Here's the thing that I can impart to young musicians. Well, I don't even consider myself a musician, but what I do know is at my age that if you and I had pursued these dreams of being a musician where we earn a living from it, I have no doubt that that would have happened. But the thing is, you have to sacrifice so much to make that happen, and we weren't willing to make that sacrifice.
Right.
For example, if you want to do that, you have to do that 24/7.
24/7. Absolutely.
But we got jobs, we got families, and other priorities took place.
Yeah, it comes down to choices.
It does come down to choices. So we, if I know now what I knew, if I know then what I knew now, does that make sense?
Yeah.
I would have moved out to L.A. and lived on the goddamn street with whatever instrument I chose to play, and I'd trying, or I would have been made a living out of being a musician.
Right.
But it takes that. I think it takes that type of commitment, unless you have this genius talent. But even then, if you have this talent for it, you're going to be into it 100% of the time.
Right.
Is it possible we can pause the show?
Oh,
I have to take a phone call. Is there something we can play?
Yeah.
Go ahead and play that. I got to take a phone call.
Yeah, I'll play something from the last practice.
Kick it! You wake up late from school and you don't want to go. Yeah, your mom pleads, but she just says no. You miss blue classes and no homework. Jerk.
You gotta fight for your right.
All right. That was practice last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was practice last week because we had a gig that we'll talk about. But so practice is in John's basement with his electronic drums. We all wear headphones. And you happen to record that practice.
Yeah.
Then you clipped out this one song and you put a John solo on it.
So low, you can't hear it.
Some John shredding.
Yeah, it's crap.
I don't know if I saw this in the forums or I got an email. I can't remember, but somebody was asking that we play some songs so that they can add guitar to. And I think that's a song that you can just treat Rick's guitar as the rhythm guitar. Of course, you are... on, but if you want to overdub that with some more guitar,
yeah,
and send it back to us, we'd love to.
We could
love
put the other
that.
Songs on there that are missing some solo. I could put it, we could post it on the forum without the solo.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's take some songs from practice, and we'll start a new forum. What do you want to call it? We'll call it some stupid name, and
that's
you can
it.
Go there. And download these tracks, add guitar, and then send them back to us.
Yeah. Anyways, let's
nice.
let's wrap up the Dan email.
The Dan email.
He goes on later. We were talking about the email I got in response to my semi-review. You just asked me how it was. And, it really was great. It was just a disappointment for me. Yes, because there were no clowns or circus peanuts and all that stuff. Because I was really expecting a real fucking circus with elephants. You all right, dude? You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm just working with some...
Drop something?
Some frozen water. That's
nice. So, anyway, he went on to say that I don't know how to market a band... or the strategy that they were taking, which was 700 people, blah, 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 will buy their
stuff.
Well,
he's backing up his stuff with data. With
yeah.
data, John.
Data.
That's what scientists do. They back up their observation
but I don't know
with
if you,
data.
If you
he's
recall,
giving you the data.
The couple stories I've told is back in the day when I was... And this is where Dan is right about everything. Because... And we talked about this in 81... is about control. Dan has to be the boss. And there's a reason for that. Because if he's not, there's no way any of this shit's going to happen. Somebody's got to be the boss. Somebody has to take on the initiative to get the gigs, to do the mailings, to do all this stuff. Because if you try to leave it up to a democratic process or be politically correct, it never gets done. Never gets done. And back then... I started doing all the gigs. Phil would do stuff like we do in the city, and we do original shows. And then all the cover shows I did, and I'd negotiate all the money, and I did the mailings. We had a mailing list. I'd send postcards out. We had flyers. We had all that shit. Spent extra money. I had to take money off the top of the gig money. And we played at, what's the place, Whitewater. Lounge in Palatine. Over 600 paid attendance to that show. And that was 1991. So, yeah, it's not 700, but it was 600, little over 600 paid guests. And there was a show that we played at Dirty Nelly's. Mr. Blotto was supposed to play, but they didn't play. Dan's band, Excite, played. And we were supposed to open up for them, but they insisted that we play in between one of their sets. And we couldn't get to the stage. We had to go through the window. You were there, Scott.
I was there, yeah.
You were there. We had to go through the window, and we played the fucking best set ever. Rick whipped his guitar down on the stage. The place went ape shit. And I found out later Dan was really pissed to find out how much money we made, because we negotiated a pretty good deal with the owner of the place, and we got paid more for one set than they did averaging all three of their sets, plus dressing room and a case of beer or something. And, you know, it's just like those kind of things that we had the ability to market. We played at the China Club. We played with Dan a number of places, and he had another band called Flying Nun. Fucking kick-ass original band. Really out there shit. And we played with them at Bed Rocks. You've seen them there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Avalon and some other places. And Kangaroo Court had a huge following back in the day. But now, you know, it takes somebody to actually do all the work. And I don't have the time for it. Otherwise, I'd be doing it. I do just pretty much just a track gig every year. Both gigs, I negotiate them. And I've just basically doubled our pay since I took it over.
Nice.
So I know what I'm fucking doing. I just don't have the time for it. It takes a lot of time. He'll see. When his kids get a little older, huh?
Going on.
You got what?
Or the initiative. We have a lot of shit going on. But Chicago Rock Circus, March 1st.
March 1st.
Chicago City Limits in Schaumburg, Illinois. They're on our MySpace page. So if you want to check them out, go to our MySpace page and click on that link. Also, if those guys want to come in and play on our show and sort all this shit out, if there's anything left to sort out.
I don't know what there needs to be sorted out. He just needs to fucking lighten up. He knows I'm just giving him shit, man. I'm only kidding.
Busting his balls.
Busting
so to
his
speak.
Balls, yeah. Holy crap.
How do you know he's not busting your balls back?
Because he responded to my response and he's still mad.
And you're responding to his response and you seem mad. You seem upset.
Did I?
Yeah.
I did?
You seem upset, yeah.
Wow, such animosity from the fragile genius, I said. You keep cutting out. I don't know what.
Get this, John. Indonesian concert, a punk concert, kills 10 people. That's hot off the press. I'm not going to go into the details, but apparently there's a punk show going on in Indonesia, and 10 people got killed.
That's great. That's a it's an interesting story, Scott.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, moving on then. Have we covered Chicago Rock Circus in enough detail?
Yeah,
there,
I'm saying go see the band. They're fucking great. They got some great musicians, and I hope they play more. Some really cooler stuff.
Cooler stuff.
Yeah, and I hope they play some of the stuff Dan's talking about, this original stuff. I haven't heard any of it. I was really psyched to hear some of it, and I didn't hear any, and that's my whole disappointment. And I paid $7. I could say what the fuck I want.
Fucking A. Even
Jesus Christ, if you cut out one more time,
because people
I'm going to punch you in the neck.
I don't know what to do. What should I? I'm sorry.
Don't Skype anymore. Get your ass over here. Do a podcast.
On Tuesday, man. I'll be there on Tuesday for the full-blown show. This is an ad hoc show.
Tuesday.
You talk too much.
You know what?
All right, moving on. Bobby Knight retired from basketball, Johnny.
No.
Retired.
For real?
Yeah, for real. I don't know if you follow basketball. I've known about Bobby Knight for a while. One of the only coaches to have an undefeated season in college basketball. Somebody correct me on that. I may be wrong. Anyway, Bobby
Knight. Do you
follow
basketball? I'm not sure.
Got in trouble with
no
coaches at Indiana. They asked him to leave, so he left. went to somewhere in Texas, and now he's retired. He's handed the reins over to his son. But it gives us an opportunity to play this clip from halftime at one of the games when he was back at Indiana. And this is great. And when I think about a coach, this is the kind of coach that I could never play for.
Oh, this is exactly how I talk to my employees.
All right, let's hear it.
This is it.
Want to play, then I'm getting the fuck out of here. I mean, if you're not going to recover Greg Graham, if you're just going to let him drive by you, if the rest of you are going to let him catch the ball outside the three-second lane and drive all the way in here without one guy challenging him, then I'm leaving and you fucking guys will run till you can't even suffer. Now, hey, I'm tired of this shit. I'm sick and fucking tired of an 8-10 record. I'm fucking tired of losing to Purdue. I'm not here to fuck around this week. Now, you may be, but I'm not. Now, I'm going to fucking guarantee you that if we don't play up there Monday night, you aren't going to believe the next four fucking days. Now, I am not here to get my ass beat on Monday. Now, you better fucking understand that right now. This is absolute fucking bullshit. Now, I'll fucking run your ass right into the ground. I mean, I'll fucking run you. You'll think last night was a fucking picnic. I had to sit around for a fucking year with an 8-10 record in this fucking league. And I mean, you will not put me in that fucking position again. Or you will goddamn pay for it like you can't fucking believe. Now, you better get your head out of your ass.
Well, I'm sorry there, coach.
What an asshole. Yeah. What an arrogant, pompous piece of shit. And, you know, the only thing I can think of that it would culminate in that kind of an explosion at halftime is because this guy wasn't doing his job. Now, he was a great coach. However he motivated these people, I don't know. But I think a part of college basketball is recruiting. And if you can't recruit guys that are going to put it on the line every fucking minute of every fucking game, then it's your problem. And to try to have to turn it around now and yell at them like they're fucking 2 years old is goddamn ridiculous.
I'm not sure I would yell at a two-year-old in quite the same way.
All right,
get your fucking head out of your ass.
Obviously he's frustrated. He's frustrated with the season. So let's just, turn it over to an anger management problem. something he was doing, was getting these kids in the right frame of mind to win basketball games. But, this was in my opinion, a complete mental lapse. This does nothing, but, if I'm on the team, does nothing but makes me.
Yeah, this.
That's all it does for
me. Makes you what? Makes you what?
Makes me want to transfer.
Oh, yeah. Or he's definitely got to get into another line of work, like maybe, you know, flight attendant or something.
Right. Talk about the stress.
Yeah.
Have you ever been that stressful on the job? I've never been that stressful on the job. I get that stressful when I'm driving.
Oh, I've been that stressful on the job, yeah.
Oh, I've never been that stressful. It's time for you to start looking for a new line of work.
I mean, I haven't acted out that way, but I've been stressed out at my job to the point where I can envision myself. Like, I envisioned myself once I was driving home, and I envisioned trying to get bait my boss into fighting me. And doing that thing in the you know, the movie Fight Club, where he just starts throwing himself around the room, and then he wipes his blood on the guy's knuckles,
right.
And then people open the door, and they're like, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, something like that. Because I knew kicking his ass wouldn't do it.
Right on.
Get him fired. He ended up getting fired anyway.
So the great Bobby Knight leaves us.
Yeah.
Jim, leaves us.
Blobby Knight. So we had a gig this week.
Yeah.
It was for a bunch of sculptors, snow sculptors. Can we talk about that?
Around the world, John. Around the world.
Yeah, why don't we talk about that, and then we'll just cut it off and continue Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah. I will gladly continue Tuesday, John.
Tuesday. Anyway, we rehearsed, what, Monday? Was it Monday? Or
No, Monday I have class. It must have been Thursday.
Thursday, the week before. For this gig on Wednesday, which was a reception for a bunch of sculptors that sculpted at the shopping mall. Snow sculpting. Fucking phenomenal, the shit they do. They start on Wednesday, that day, and we had this huge fucking snowstorm that day. And
oh, yeah. I was even calling Rick all day. Yeah. I would check in every hour.
And I was,
Rick has a job where he has to drive around in this snowstorm.
Yeah.
And it crippled the Midwest pretty much.
Yeah.
Hey, so Rick, are we still on? Or and at one point Rick said, yeah, I got some bad news. And I said, what, we're still playing? And he said, yeah, we're still going to play. So there's, I don't know how many inches of snow it was, but it was really heavy and wet.
Yeah.
And, Jesus Christ. Fortunately for me, I got to work from home that day. So I.
Yeah, not me.
Until we had the gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to go to work.
I worked. And then I had to sit there and argue with a couple of people, our CFO and CMO, and explain to them that they need to consider closing up shop early, or we might have employees that get injured.
What's CMO? Chief Manufacturing Officer?
No, marketing.
Marketing officer.
And they were the only people in charge at the time, so everybody's looking to me going, hey, man, what do we do? What's going on?
Why don't you put him in charge?
Put him in charge! So I went up there with my weather report in hand, highlighted, and basically told him, hey, I think we need to shut it down. What about this? What about customer service? Hey, I think our employees... well-being is outweighs just 4 hours of customer service. And we'll just, you know, I think people will understand that. And sure enough, we shut down early. I left a little earlier than that. And which was great because I had to fucking snow blow like three driveways. And because
the key word being snow blow.
Yeah,
and
but
not snow shovel.
No, it doesn't get everything. The snow blower doesn't do shit at the end there where they plow you in.
Oh, right.
It's all
right.
That heavy,
you
got to
get out
slushy.
There and ship it out.
Yeah, so I'm out there shoveling that. And I thought I pulled a muscle in my bicep, you know, from how fucking heavy it was. And I'm like, fuck. Oh, please. Somebody's got to call and say we're not doing this gig.
And, I tried, man.
Yeah.
I tried.
I call you at like 5. Hey, man, you told me you were going to call Rick and then call me back. Yeah. All right, I'll call him. And you call him. Call me back. Yeah. 7 o'clock. We got it. It's still on. 7 o'clock. God damn it. So I take a shower. My wife goes to get something to eat with the kids. And I pick up my phone and there's a message on it. And I'm thinking, this is it, man. Rick is stuck in Gurney, and we're not. We got to help him or something, but we don't have to do the gig. Excellent. Dial the number. It's my wife. Yeah, everything's closed. We're trying to find a place to eat. Just want to let you know. I'm like, God damn it.
So everything's closed, but we still have to.
Yeah,
play our shit.
Gig. Yeah. So. I get there like 10 to 7. You come a little later, and I find out we got to walk from... This is a big fucking barn, this place. We got to walk down this long hallway and then up like a flight and a half of stairs. And I said to Rick, I go, I am not carrying this shit all the way up there. No way. Why can't we load in the front? Well, he wouldn't let us. Well, I am not carrying this shit, so I'm not even taking it out of the car. Well, okay. So he's going to carry it all himself. Well, he got the help of the sculptor. Some of the guys came down. They did it like in one or two trips.
Nice.
Which was great. And it went over pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, the stairs were a real pain in the ass, yeah. Not only to get up there, but then when back we finished down. The gig, to get that shit back down the stairs was a real pain in the ass, and it only made me appreciate the Arlington gigs so much more because at Arlington, we get to drive our cars right up to the stage
yeah.
and just push stuff onto the stage and then pull the cars away. And then this gig, yeah, it was a total pain in the ass, but once we started, and we did bring a limited amount of equipment. Usually we bring a lot more equipment. And I thought it sounded fucking great. There was a spot on stage where I can hear and feel the kick drum, which is always great for me because it's a sweet spot. It makes me much more syncopated. Is that a correct word to use here?
Yeah, yeah. You lock in.
I lock in. And so we played the first set. Which was a pretty long set. I think we played like an hour, maybe a little over an hour. We took a short break and came back for the second set. And the second set, everybody in the place, and you got to remember these are artists. They're yeah. all sculptors, artists. But everybody in the place was dancing
yeah.
almost the entire second set, which yeah. is something I've never witnessed before, either from an audience perspective or...
Yeah, right.
Where the entire place was dancing, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. And then, of course, the sculpture competition was, the judging was yesterday. So we took the kids over there yesterday to check it out, and we sponsored a sculpture. Our logo and
our band
logo and our names were on the sculpture. I got pictures of it. There's like a big sign in front of it. And I got a
picture.
We'll
have to get those on the forum.
Yeah, I got a picture of the sculpture, a picture of the clay sculpture that they modeled it off of, and a skull with one of those bandanas around its head that we got.
Nice.
And while we were there, they had like some snow dogs, a bunch of Siberian huskies that they were giving away, you know, like a rescue. And yeah, I had to live through that. The fucking.
What do you mean live through
the
it?
The daughter.
Like live through it and the daughter. Not walk away with one?
Right.
Right.
I had to say no like 15 times until the daughter broke down, you know. This one's so lonely. Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I was at a rescue in Gurnee for pit bulls, and it was either a pit bull or a cat. And I said, well, let's get the pit bull.
Oh, you should have got the cat.
And it was supposed to be the daughter's dog.
Yeah,
yeah, the daughter hasn't. No. She hasn't done anything. So I've had to do everything. Feed the dog, take the dog out, walk the dog. I have to ask her if she wants to come walk with me.
No, that fucking dog in my house would have gone back in a heartbeat.
I have an attachment to the dog.
Oh, Jesus.
But, you know, we're at the Field Museum today, and the wife says to me, you know, we should have named that dog John. And then she starts cracking up for like the next 30 minutes. I'm like, yeah. What are you talking about? Because of your bromance. Because you get to take the dog for a walk and you get to spend time with the dog. And I said, honey, that's not funny. It's really not funny. It's not fun. It's not funny. Stop it. But no, she goes on for a half an hour about this. And what happened the day before, we were at her father's retirement party. He was on the police force for 35 years. An evidence technician and a bomb squad guy, right? So there's like 80 people at this retirement party, and almost all 80 of them felt compelled to speak at this forum and say what this Marsha's dad meant to them. It's very touching.
Yeah.
The common theme was educator. He took the time out to teach them, and he was the highest ethical
educator.
Yes. Educator, and he took the time out to teach him, and he was the highest ethical standard that they've ever seen in a government employee. And at the end of it, Marcia, my wife, spoke, and she told a story, and she had a punchline in the story. It was very funny. It was very funny.
Yeah.
Genuinely funny. I was laughing. Everybody was laughing. It was the funniest moment of the entire evening, and I think that went to her head because she was talking about this, I should have named the dog John because of our bromance, and she was saying, I'm going to write a script. I'm going to send it to Saturday Night Live, and I'm like, honey, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's not fun. Don't send the script. It went to your head. Your joke yesterday went to your head, okay? It was all about timing.
Yeah, the sun.
And this joke, it's not funny.
Yeah, the sun has to shine on a dog's ass every once in a while, right?
Right. The broken clock works twice a day, John.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's nice.
But for 30 minutes, this carried on. Yeah.
Yeah. She's getting to you, man.
But the gig.
She's skillful. She's got skills.
A lot of fun at the gig. You know, the other thing is Rick, we finally got Rick to kind of commit to a set list. So he emailed this set list out to us of the songs that we were going to play.
Which I never saw.
Oh, you never did see it?
No.
Well, I saw it. And so Rick breaks into this song, which is a G, C, D chord progression.
Yeah.
And it's not on the list. So the G progression that I know is this other song that is on the list.
Yeah.
So I start playing that song, and it turns out that it's this other song that's not on the goddamn list. So why do we even have these fucking lists is what I'm saying. If you're going to have a list, stick to it, and that's what I'll be talking to Rick about next practice.
Yeah, good luck.
Do you remember? He started playing Angel, and I thought he was playing Goodbye to You. So the whole first 10 seconds of it were all fucked up until I figured out he was playing Angel.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Angel either.
Well, he doesn't even tell us. He doesn't tell us. Well, he just starts playing.
He's the one that looks like a fucking ass whenever he does that. So I don't know why, you know, he looks like a fucking idiot. I mean, when he starts playing and then we can't play along with him. So, hey, no, I'm the guy that, see, these guys suck. Yeah, we suck. Yeah. It's us. Both of us.
I don't know what's wrong with them.
Both of us at the same time suck. Yeah, that's got to be it. Carried your ass all these years.
Yeah, so my strategy moving forward, John, a new way forward, as the W would say, is to just shout songs at him until he picks one of my songs. Yeah. And then I'll at least know what we're playing.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if he gets nervous or he doesn't feel like he's going to hit the note or maybe he just forgets what the chord progression is, because he like will go through that list and turn his back to the crowd and look at it for like a good 2 minutes sometimes. Like he's picking, I mean, he could randomly go through your head and find a song. And I don't know if he's, okay, we just played one in E, so this one's going to start in G. Or we played...
well, let's ask.
The crowd is
try to break that down, his thought process, so we can help.
Good luck, dude. I've been trying to do that for 20 years.
Just fucking tell us what you're playing. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
That's it.
I hear you, man. I hear you. That's why I dumb down all the drum licks, because if I make them sound all the same to every song, no matter what song he picks out, I'll know the song.
You think they have these problems in Chicago Rock Circus?
No,
I don't think so.
Not at all.
They know how to market, and they know how to put together a set list.
That's right.
I'll tell you that.
Because Dan, I'll tell you one thing. Dan wants to make for goddamn sure that they're putting on a good show. And the only way that that's going to happen is you're well-rehearsed. And you're you know, he'll throw shit out there if he hears people yelling out whatever. I've played gigs with him where he wrote down on a paper plate all the songs that we were going to play. And I had to listen in my car in the parking lot just before going in to the tunes. And then he still threw like a Joe Satriani tune or something that we hadn't played in a long time. And we still were able to pull it off. But, you know, it was once, though. It wasn't like every fucking fifth song was a curveball. Yeah, okay, we haven't played that one ever. So what you got to do, Scott, is learn how to dumb down the bass part so you're always playing the same thing.
Right.
Start picking songs that all sound the same.
Well, that's the thing. We are well rehearsed. Just tell us what the fuck you're playing. I hate that 10-second guessing game I have to play at the beginning of each song.
I know. I hear you, man.
Talk about stress, John.
I hear you, man.
I mean, all right, man, so that'll quality. Wrap it up for... Oh, this is nice.
Start over. You know what's better is this one.
How's it go?
Yeah, I was telling you how it went, man. Was that me?
Yeah.
Or was that Rick?
Drunk, man? No.
No way, man.
The drunken drummer beat.
I'm drunk on happiness.
Yeah, that was practice.
Surrender.
Yeah. Did we even play it? Yeah,
at
we
the
did.
The gig?
Yeah.
I think we did.
Yeah. Because you said somebody was asking for it. When the guy was like, well,
they
no,
were.
I'm old school. I like Motley Crue. And that's not old school, you dope. What was the guy
you
asking
dope.
For?
You dope. He was asking for a popular song in the 80s. That's what he was asking.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I came back and said, Surrender.
Yeah.
He wants to hear Surrender. That's a good strategy, too. Like after the first set?
Yeah.
Come back and say, hey, we got these requests.
Yeah, here they are. Wow, they're actually in the same orders on the list. Yeah, so?
All right, man, you ready to wrap this one up? Ad hoc 119.
Yeah.
And I'll be back in the studio on Tuesday for 120.
Nice.
That's only 2 days away, John.
Only 2 days. Well, we owe one.
Pull that show off or what? Say
we,
what?
Yeah, we owe one. We owe one.
We owe one.
We owe a show.
Can you pull that pull that off in 2 days or what?
Pull what off?
Another show.
Yeah.
A full-blown show, not an ad hoc
show. Why can't
show.
I do that?
I don't know. Here's
you
my goal.
You are a meathead.
Was to have the Skype icon working on our website by Tuesday night. So if you look at our website on Tuesday night and you see that we're on Skype, you can give us a call.
Wow.
I wonder if I can do that just by clicking the button. It would automatically call us. I'll have to check into that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Check it out, man.
Maybe play some Shit or Shinola.
Right.
Oh, tomorrow I'm going to put together the fourth grader game with my daughter.
Okay.
I'm going to ask her a series of questions.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to play the game, they have to call in, of course. But if they want to play the game, we will play one sample question, and then we will play five questions that I will ask my daughter, who's in fourth grade. And the caller has to tell us if she's going to answer the question right or wrong.
Ah.
And if they get 3 out of 5, they win fabulous prizes.
Well, fabulous.
Oh, that reminds me.
Yeah.
There's 3 other people that won fabulous prizes on the show.
Yeah.
And I was going to email those out. Somebody volunteered to help me. I'm sorry, not email. Snail mail those prizes out. Somebody volunteered to help me.
Yeah.
and that person lost their job.
Yeah.
So mailing stuff out for us is not a priority of that person anymore.
Right.
So that means I have to do it, which means it's going to take longer.
Yeah.
So I apologize for that. Phil, Way of the Bob, and whoever else,
yeah.
Redneck Recital.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Right. There was somebody else, one other person.
Yeah.
I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
All right. Well, that wraps it up.
Oh, one more thing. Mediocre Show. I got in contact with them, and they are checking into the 4X
Thanks.
Hoodie.
Thank you so much.
4X for you.
Just for fucking you. Tell everybody how fat I am.
I'm going to get the 2X,
the show.
Man.
Thanks.
The 2X.
Like everybody needs to know that. Hey, by the way, let me hook up the microphone and tell a billion people, guess
a
what?
A billion. Yeah, come on. A billion.
A Brazilian.
A Brazilian.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
We could have a lot of people. Maybe they're not downloading the show, but they're passing the show along, you know?
Right. Maybe
One day,
they are.
They could be bootlegs.
Bootlegs of John TTN.
Of John and
China, because that if they listen to that shit live, they would be executed.
Right, right.
So they pass around bootlegs in Mandarin Chinese.
Oh,
somebody translates.
I got a story. I don't have the details yet about.
Are you going to save it for the next show?
Yeah. Well, I got to get the details. I don't know if I'm going to have it for the next show, but it's about a guy whose brother has to live abroad now because he's on the CIA wanted list or some shit like that. Not the wanted, but the no fly list. So he can't get back over here for some.
Well, then he can't. Yeah.
Some
I'd
shit
want to
he
live
said,
abroad too.
Some shit he said at school rally or
just for something that he said.
I don't know the details. It might
oh,
be
you got to get the detail of that. That's
might,
goddamn ridiculous.
It might be just complete shit for all I know.
All right, next podcast we're going to get that back to celebrity news.
Yeah.
News. We got celebrity some miscellaneous news. We're going to talk about the Reverend Fred Phelps and Huckabee, and we'll talk about the latest politics. And we'll have Phil back. Phil will be back to give a full newscast.
Right.
Next podcast.
All right. Well, that's it.
That's it for Ad Hoc 119.
I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here.
You're listening to John and Scott.
On Total Talk Nonsense.